Chapter 6, Brave Teams. When spiders unite, they can tie down a lion. Ethiopian proverb. Most of us do our work in the context of others. We depend on teammates to provide perspective or skills that we don't have, and they, likewise, rely on us to deliver our part. When trust is high and competence is apparent, teams can function like well-oiled machines. However, when either breaks down, it can begin a downward spiral, or doom loop, in the words of Jim Collins, that threatens to stall the entire organization. When a perception exists that some members of the team are willing to engage in brave action while others tend to retreat from discomfort, it generates uncertainty and doubt that leads to hesitation when action is needed. On the other hand, when brave action becomes the expected norm, and that expectation is reinforced by both stated metrics and the reward structure of the organization, the entire team benefits. This is what we would call conspicuous courage. Brave action tends to lead to more brave action. When you act bravely, you give me permission to do the same. I see this all the time in companies I work with. When I ask an uncomfortable question of a leadership team, for example, what's something you're doing right now that needs to stop even if it's difficult to do so, I'm met with silence. People look around the room or look down at their notebook to avoid eye contact. Then one person sheepishly raises their hand and shares a hesitant answer. Well, I know it's in the best interest of our clients, but we keep making promises that my team is unaware of, and then we are surprised and often challenged to deliver them by the time we find out. A conversation ensues, and the head of accounts agrees that there needs to be better communication before making promises to clients, even if it causes delays. Then, another response to the question, and another. So many issues that were previously unaddressed, though deeply affecting the team. What brought them to light? A direct question followed by one brave person willing to go first. Are you willing to go first? Are you willing to commit to a culture of vulnerability and empathy, even at the risk of it not being reciprocated? Are you willing to share the first response, even when it might cause conflict with others? To cultivate an environment of bravery, commit to going first. This means taking agency in the midst of uncertainty and acting with your vision of a better possible future firmly in mind. If each team member commits to acting with perceived agency and optimistic vision, you'll create a fertile field for strategic risk-taking and collaborative trust. Engage in healthy conflict. I often hear managers say something to the effect of, "We're about the healthiest team you'll ever meet. We never fight." I want to reply, "You are profoundly dysfunctional," but what I actually say is, "Tell me more." Healthy teams fight. However, they do it in healthy ways. Conflict is the natural result of talented, motivated people bumping into one another. If your organization has hired well, you will naturally find yourself in situations where the strong and viable opinions of team members run in opposition to one another. That's fine and expected. However, the way in which you handle that conflict is everything. Brave teams are willing to wade into conflict and have difficult conversations before those disagreements create fissures in the culture. When disagreements are left untended for too long, they forge an undertow in team meetings, pulling everyone back under the water no matter how hard they fight to escape. If you don't want to be having the same conversation in a different form 3 months from now, be candid and urgent about addressing conflict. Be honest about disagreements. Don't pretend that everyone is on the same page if you're not. Share perspectives openly and voice your opinion in a respectful way. There's another name for false harmony: dysfunction. All of those bad feelings are just being pushed beneath the surface where they are likely to reemerge at a later and maybe less opportune time. Cultivate an environment in which disagreement is celebrated as a sign of thought sharpening rather than a sign of someone just being difficult. Recognize authority. Just because you are given permission to speak doesn't mean that you have authority to make the decision. It takes bravery to share your thoughts, knowing it may not move the needle. Do it anyway. It makes the team stronger. Plus, it's likely that others on the team are thinking the same thing, and your willingness to speak up may help them choose brave action next time as well. Never, ever let it get personal. Make certain that your disagreements about ideas don't become personality cults. The moment conflict becomes personal, everyone loses. Do your best to ensure that conflict is handled in the open and on a professional level. Brave teams keep it about the work and are willing to curb their deeper insecurities and the instinct to fight for turf. Brave teams fight well. Cowardly teams run from conflict. Healthy conflict builds better work and better teams. Question: is there any place where you're avoiding conflict or trying to prematurely squash it in order to avoid discomfort? What would it look like to address the situation head-on with empathy and bravery? Protect your teammates. Brave teammates stand up for and protect their fellow teammates' reputations. When someone else is speaking ill of their teammate, they don't join in. They recognize that trust is earned every single day, and that it's often not the big violations that cause trust to be broken, but the small ones. Trust must be fought for and preserved. Some lines cannot be crossed. On the other hand, cowards throw people under the bus in order to save their own skin. They are willing to allow someone else to take arrows, rightly or wrongly, in order to preserve their own reputation. Their vision of a better possible future is primarily driven by their own self-interest, not that of the collective team and stakeholders. This only sounds naive to those whose primary lens of the world is pessimistic. When your core belief system is centered on preserving and protecting what's yours because you believe there are a finite amount of resources and opportunity, your instinct is to lash out and defend yourself at all costs or to relish seeing someone else losing something that you believe you deserve. However, when your primary story is one of optimism, that there's an ample opportunity for those who are willing to do the work and seize the moment, you feel less resentment toward those who have what you feel you deserve. But this isn't just feel-good advice. It's also very, very practical. You want others rooting for you when you have an important opportunity. You need their support when you take a risk. You have to be able to trust them when they give you advice. If those bonds have been frayed because you've been quietly rooting against them, or if you view everyone around you suspiciously because of your fundamental belief in a zero-sum game, you will be less likely to depend on the perspective of others and thus more likely to make avoidable mistakes. You will reap later what you invest today. Being a trustworthy teammate now yields much needed goodwill later. Question: has someone ever blamed you for something in order to protect their own reputation? How did it feel? How might you have acted differently in their situation? Recognize that it's not about you. Brave teammates know that the cause supersedes any individual credit they receive. It's not about their idea, it's about the right idea. They are willing to support the best work, even if it's at the expense of personal recognition. Just like other advice in this section, it's important not only because it's the right thing to do, but because next time it may be your idea that's on the table and you want others to support you. If you are willing to throw your support behind an idea that you believe to be the best, even if it means forfeiting your own piece of credit, you invest in tremendous goodwill that is likely to return to you later. Bravery is about making investments now that may not pay dividends in the immediate term, but that you believe will pay off huge in the long run. It's doing the right thing now, even when you can't see immediate results, but trusting that results will follow. This is essential in relationships and even more so in highly interdependent, collaborative ones. Question: what investments could you make in other people today? How might you encourage and elevate others in order to cultivate an environment in which brave action is more likely? Bravely give and receive feedback. Brave teams are willing to hear feedback they disagree with and are not afraid to offer helpful feedback when they believe a fellow teammate is not living up to their potential. No one wins when we hide truth in order to be liked. This is putting yourself ahead of the productive passion of the team. Instead, be willing to risk being unliked for a season if it means helping others become better and achieve their desired results. Now, this isn't permission to be abusive or rude. Feedback should be delivered in a manner that can be received by the other person. However, candor is a critical quality of high-functioning teams. Teams who trust one another enough to speak directly and bravely never question what the other person on the team really thinks. They know that nothing is being strategically hidden in order to avoid discomfort. Question: is there any feedback that you need to give someone else but have been avoiding? When will you have the conversation? We rise and fall together. One act of cowardice on a team can shape the team's perception of what's possible and what's not. However, one act of bravery grants permission to others to take strategic risk, have difficult conversations, offer edgy ideas, and commit to deliverables that feel a little out of reach. This is how we grow. While a forest may seem from the outside observer like a random collection of individual trees and plants, scientists have recently come to discover that it is actually, in many ways, a single complex organism. Trees and plants communicate with one another through an interconnected web of roots and microbes, sharing both information and resources when necessary. While much of the communication is designed to help same-species plants survive and reproduce, there is evidence that cross-species cooperation also occurs with the purpose of keeping the forest ecosystem alive and viable. An article on the Harvard University Graduate School of Arts and Sciences website shared how some of these mechanisms function. It says, similarly, there is crosstalk between different species of trees that share the same mycorrhizal network, such as between birch and fir trees. Interspecies tree communication has been shown to increase the fitness and resiliency of trees. The article continues, mycorrhizal networks are extremely important for tree health during times of danger. Certain species of fungi can facilitate tree resilience to certain environmental stressors such as predators, toxins, and pathogenic microbes that invade an ecosystem. By using a technique called allelopathy, in which a chemical signal is sent through the mycorrhizal network, trees can warn their neighbors about an invasive predator or to inhibit growth of invasive plant species. Surrounding trees can then defend themselves by releasing volatile hormones or chemicals to deter predators or pathogenic bugs. It was even found that trees can send a stress signal to nearby trees after a major forest disturbance, such as deforestation. While every tree is certainly behaving in a way to ensure its own survival and that of its species, there is a biological reality that a diverse, thriving ecosystem in which everyone prospers is best for long-term resilience. The same principle applies to your team. The best way for you to ensure your long-term viability is to act bravely, share generously, engage with empathy, speak directly, and raise the expectations for the entire ecosystem to do the same. Be a brave teammate. Go first. Checkpoint. You do your work in the company of others. Consider the following. 1. Is there any unresolved conflict that you need to bravely address? 2. Do you have a teammate that you need to commit to protecting, even when it gets uncomfortable? 3. What feedback have you been holding on to because you've been afraid to share it? 4. What does it mean for you to deliver that feedback in an empathetic way? Action step. Consider one brave action you need to take with your peers this week. When will you act?